How could anybody not like this music?
I am so thrilled to be in your bunker, Steve.
Hey, it's fun.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you're here, too.
Yeah. I mean, we rarely get to do this together.
I know.
Because we are sitting across from Kevin on alternate weeks.
Yes.
And watching him not breathe.
Yeah. I say, are you ready? And then he just goes... And then I give a 3-2-1, and then he just goes.
Yeah.
And
I wish people had the opportunity just to witness how he does a podcast. I mean,
yeah.
You and I have both had the experience where we've been out speaking someplace, and people come up and they'll say, "Hey, I listen to you on Generations Radio." My response is,
"No, you don't."
Because we very rarely get to input anything into the conversation. I used to sit and go, I'm going to wait until he takes a breath, and then I'll make a comment.
I
realized
thing.
He never breathes.
No, he doesn't. And, it's just crazy. There is one guy that actually figured up. He did a time analysis, and he said that I got, 2% of the time. And I said, that high.
That high. That's what I was thinking, too.
Yeah.
Kevin's not here. He's in Africa.
Yes, he is.
You know, it reminds me of that old song back in the 80s, I guess it was.
Or yeah.
Maybe even earlier than that. And, you know, about, Lord, please don't send me to Africa.
Yeah.
Well,
I'll
he's
do
been
anything.
Sent to
yeah.
Africa.
Yes, he has.
And so we get to do this together.
Yeah. And it's great.
Yeah.
I think we might get four shows out of this unless they, you know, censor us.
Yeah, that they could pull the plug on us.
Yeah, they could.
But I was reading an article.
You were reading?
Yeah, I was reading an article. That's what I do when Kevin and I podcast. I just sit and read.
Yeah.
You know, I don't do anything else. But you know that not too long ago, retired Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens had an editorial in the New York Times recommending that the Second Amendment be repealed.
Yeah.
This was a Supreme Court justice who recommended the Second Amendment be tossed out, and it created quite a firestorm. And,
oh, yeah.
I mean, these are rights that we have. This is the foundation of our nation. This is the Constitution we're talking about, and it created quite a stir. And I was really upset about that. I was, you know, just gnashing my teeth and foaming at the mouth, walking around the house, screaming at the TV when I saw this.
Yeah, the right to keep and bear arms.
Yes.
That is our right.
But, you know, I have to tell you something. I read a subsequent article by Benjamin Durker just a few days later, and his article was entitled, "Why It Shouldn't Matter If We Repeal the Second Amendment."
Why it shouldn't matter?
Yes. And I just started yelling and screaming when I saw the title of that article until I read the article, and I'm telling you, I'm persuaded.
Really?
Yeah.
You've got to be kidding me.
No.
That we don't have a legal right to own firearms.
Yeah, well, that's the way he starts off. He says there is no legal right to own a firearm in the United States. You take some umbrage at that?
Umbrage, whatever that is. Something. I take something at that.
He went on to say the Constitution does not give citizens the right to own weapons. And no legal or historical arguments support the idea that it does. I, too, was a bit flummoxed by that. And you're like Kevin. You're coming up out of your seat.
Yes,
right
I
now.
Am. I've read books on the Constitution, how the Constitution was written, all the things that went into this, that this is our right.
But I think this guy is correct.
I'm
persuaded.
So can I have your guns?
You can pry them out of my cold, dead fingers.
Yeah, I might do that.
But I think we need to really dig deep and drill down into what Benjamin Durker has to say, because I think I can persuade you that he is correct.
I don't know. I'm looking at the article right now. I'm looking at this guy's picture. He looks like he's a millennial, so I'm thinking, this guy's probably got a few screws loose. He doesn't know what he's talking about. I mean,
he makes a persuasive argument. I've converted to his position.
I'm
going to wear the plaid shirt, and if I had hair, I'd get it cut like his.
Yeah, and have look that kind of dorky smile. Yeah.
But when we come back, we're gonna dig deep and drill down into why it shouldn't matter if we repeal the Second Amendment on Generations Radio.
You may have an arm wrestle or a fight or something on your hands.
Or an arm bearing, right?
Yeah. So, all right, well, stay tuned. Bill is going to try to make his point here on Generations.
Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abortifacient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about one-third of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way. Protecting life as Christians do at one-third the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, during the break, you made me dance by firing at me, at my feet, with your pistol.
That's right.
This music does make me dance, though.
Yes, it does.
Okay. So put that gun down.
Alrighty.
Yeah. Because yeah. You need to understand that I am persuaded by Benjamin Durker's argument. And the reason is because he goes on to say that there is no legal right to own a firearm in the United States. Instead, a much deeper and more important philosophy provides for gun ownership: natural rights.
Natural rights.
These rights are not given, but protected, he says. So gun ownership is so integral to the United States DNA because armed Americans overthrew the world's most powerful military empire using guns. So he's arguing that these are not constitutionally given, they are constitutionally protected. And so the problem that we face is, as American citizens, and even as Christians, is we think in terms of, I have constitutional rights. The answer is, no, you do not. As I teach my students at Worldview at the Abbey in our political science class, which I don't like to call political science. I like to call it the civics class.
Yeah.
Because political science means that you're reducing people to integers you can move around on a page. That they will act in a certain manner if you put certain pressure on them. And that's not what we
have. That's behavior modification.
It is.
I think that, you know, pure sciences are divine. And I think political science can be a pure science if you treat it right. Because our rights don't come from the government.
No, they do not. They do not. And so civics would be a better title.
Yeah.
It's the citizens' rights and responsibilities in regard to government.
Right.
And so when you look at what we have, these are not constitutional rights. I would say they are pre-constitutional rights.
Right. You have to take a look at how these are worded. It's not that the government gives you the right to bear arms, but the right to bear, keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Yes, because the government has jurisdiction, but it's limited jurisdiction. And right. we have legal rights, statutory rights, and we have fundamental or pre-constitutional rights, or what is called unalienable rights. And we need to change the way we talk about our liberties, our rights, and our responsibilities, because the other side that is so anti-God and pro-government that they want government to become God, such as Justice John Paul Stevens, they are confusing the language. We need to communicate clearly to our families and our churches and our communities that we have there. I take exception with Benjamin Durker in saying these are natural rights, because that too waters down the import of it and the power that we have in our rights. We have God-given rights, unalienable rights, pre-constitutional rights that cannot be stripped from the individual because they are God-given, not because they're some nebulous gift of nature. They are God-given rights. And so the founding fathers had this big debate as to, should we have even a Bill of Rights? Because if you put into the Constitution this Bill of Rights, then you're saying that these are the rights that people have, but you've enumerated their rights. You have listed, and there are so many that you have that are not listed there that are God-given, that there was this debate. And so we have to understand that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights.
Yeah. If you take a look at how the Constitution is set up, it's interesting that the articles of the Constitution tell the government what they can do, and the Bill of Rights tells them what they can't do. And so some of the people who were the Federalists and the Anti-Federalists who were arguing over this were saying, well, no, if we just tell them what they can do, then it's assumed that everything else is hands off. And the Federalists were saying, I don't think so. And so,
because they understood the nature of man.
Exactly.
The nature of man is fallen, and if you put him in power, he tends to corrupt institutions that are God-instituted, such as government, for the good of the people. But they will corrupt those, and they will tend to usurp power, usurp other jurisdictions, the family, the church.
Yeah, and you know, the way I teach it to my speech and debate club is that if I had one of you babysitting when I had little kids, and if I were to give you a list, two different lists, one of the things that you can do and a list of all the things you can't do, which list would be longer? Obviously, all the things I can't do, because that could go on forever. But if I say, these are the things that you can eat this, this, or this, you can watch this program or this program, you can read this book or this book, and then they need to be in bed by this time. It could be earlier, but no later than this. There you go. So it's a short list. But if I gave all the things they couldn't do, and that's why Amendment 9 and 10 are in there.
Exactly.
Because there are all sorts of other rights that are inalienable, that are endowed by our Creator, that are not listed here. And those rights, even though they're not spoken about, still belong to the people. And number 10, if it's not given in the articles, anything that's not specific in that era, if it's not given to the federal government, it is given to the states and to the people.
And that's exactly the point that Benjamin Durker tries to drive home. In fact, he says, in a properly functioning America like the founders envisioned, a repeal of the Second Amendment would be virtually meaningless. The right existed already. The Constitution merely secures it. Unfortunately, our society has loosened its grasp on natural rights philosophy and devolved into dependency on government-sanctioned rules. The list of things, as an aside, the list of things that you can't do.
Right? Right.
Today, however, even unambiguous text is under scrutiny by Democrats as prominent as former Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens. This is a great article, and I would encourage you as a family to sit down and read it to understand not just about the Second Amendment, not just about gun ownership, but to understand that foundationally our founding fathers understood inalienable rights, rights that cannot be stripped from the individual, and therefore they envisioned a government that was very limited and provided security, while at the same time provided great liberty for the individual. That was the tension our founding fathers faced: how to provide security for the country and great liberty for the individual, because the individual mattered more than the group. In every other nation out there that does not have a biblical worldview, it is only the group that matters. So the individual does not have unalienable rights. It's just he's part of a group.
Right.
And all that matters is the group survives. That is contrary to everything Scripture teaches, and is contrary to the founding of this nation, because our founders, even though not all of them were believers or Christians, they had a biblical view of government. And that's what's so important about this article. I urge you to get this article and sit down and examine it and study it and realize that we have pre-constitutional rights.
Yeah, and take a look at that Bill of Rights. It's the rights of the people that already exist, that saying that the government cannot infringe upon those rights. Otherwise, if you're thinking that your rights come from the government, if they give you these rights, I would like to ask any African-American out there that's listening to this, how would you like to have that attitude back in the early 1800s?
Yeah.
Because the government took those rights away from you that were inalienable and given to you by God. And even though they tried, you know, some of them tried to give them back, but they see they didn't come from the government. They don't come from the Constitution. They don't come from the Declaration of Independence. These rights come from God, our Creator.
Yeah. Constitutions don't establish rights. They secure them.
Right.
If they understand the nature of man and the nature of God, if they have a biblical worldview.
So what happens if these things go away? What do we lose?
Well, I read another article a friend of mine gave me, and this article was five things you lose if socialism takes over. And he lived in Venezuela. He was part of the oil company down there, and you have the list of things that in front of you that you lose if socialism takes over. One of those things is gun ownership.
Yeah, self-defense.
Okay. Yeah. In fact, when they started out, they had to register their guns. They had to send their guns into the government for a ballistics test, but they never got their guns back. Those who submitted their guns for this, you know, ballistics test, so we can make sure that it matches. If your gun's stolen and it's used in a crime, then we can figure out. No, they never got their guns back.
Wow. Okay.
The second thing is utilities. As government takes more and more control, they limited energy.
Sounds like California.
Yes, it does. It sure does.
Yeah. Gray out Davis.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And then it was things like food, which is obvious.
Yeah, money.
Money, okay. There was a case where a nurse retired, and while her pension was being processed, she was supposed to have 5 years of pension. Okay, by the time it was processed, there was such an inflation going on that by the time she got her check, she could go buy a cup of coffee, and that was it with her pension check. It's like 14,000% or something like that. It's really unreal. And then transportation.
Yeah.
Those five things were lost when socialism took over Venezuela, and people become slaves of the state. That's what happens when you do not have a constitution that recognizes you have unalienable rights.
Yeah, so I would encourage you to read this article along with the Constitution and read that Constitution very carefully. It's not very long. And it's not that hard to understand, especially if you read it side by side with certain things like this article. I like where it says, you know, this is why we have the Ninth Amendment. I hadn't even read that part of it,
yeah.
But that's why it is. Other rights that are retained by the people that are not mentioned. Just because it's not mentioned here doesn't mean that the government knows about them or even that anybody knows about them, but there are other rights out there that we have that shall not be infringed on by the government.
Yeah, and that is the beauty of the American experiment. It's based on a biblical worldview. We need to teach that to our children. We need to speak it to the culture. We need to speak it in church, because if you lose those unalienable rights, then the church will be hamstrung in proclaiming the gospel.
Sounds like you know quite a bit about this. Do you teach this in Worldview Economy? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
We teach this down at Worldview at the Abbey. And we are just finishing up our school year, which is a two-semester program for students who want to get grounded in a biblical worldview before they hit their college or their career path. So for any student who is interested, 17 years old to 22 years old, who wants to take two semesters and get a biblical worldview in beautiful Colorado,
yeah,
okay, Canyon City, at an old abbey. Okay.
Wow.
So it's a beautiful setting, and they can receive up to 30 hours of fully transferable credit through Trinity International University. So basically, it's their freshman year of college.
Wow.
And but without all of the indoctrination and all of the wasted time and the stuff you have to cut through your freshman year of college in many, many cases.
Yeah, and I know that Czech also has some literature that will fulfill your high school credit for the Constitution, and a lot of times you could take that class either at the day at the Capitol, which happened this last April, and again, every April that we have the day at the Capitol, then they do actually teach the Constitution, and that gives you your credit, but they also have the literature on that if you want to do that on your own. I also coach a speech and debate club, and we cover the Constitution and how bills are passed and how things like that go through the House and signed by the President, and what's the difference between a law and an executive order and a bill, and what's the role of each of those different houses, the House, the Senate, President, Supreme Court, how they all have checks and balances between each other, and how the Supreme Court is definitely not supreme.
Yep. And that's why I call it the machinations of government. You got to learn the machinations, but if you don't have a foundation upon which to build your government, then the machinations mean nothing. They're just details. And you've got to have your foundation. So that's why we encourage people to investigate the founding of this nation and the documents that are the founding documents of this nation. But underneath that, you have the foundation of God's Word.
So how can people get a hold of you at Worldview Academy?
Yes, they get a hold of me at bjack@worldview.org. If they want information about our programs, either our summer camps or the bridge year program for graduating students at Worldview at the Abbey.
Yeah.
That's bjack@worldview.org.
And you can check out Czech at Czech.org, CHEC.org. The conference is coming up here in June, just next month. Should be a really good conference. I'm speaking at it. I'm actually talking.
Oh,
it'll be excellent then.
Yeah.
I'll be giving talks on communication. Why should everybody learn to communicate better? And also a talk called Unapologetically Using the Ability to Use Critical Thinking and Debate Skills in Apologetics.
Great.
So
I wish I could be there.
I wish you could be too. You've always been a great speaker. I've saw a picture of you not too long ago.
Hey, I think we're about out of time.
I think we are.
Yeah, I don't think you want to know about that picture.
Yeah.
No, a picture from 25 years ago or so.
Yeah.
30, maybe. Okay.
Something like that. Well, join us next time as we seek to give help and hope to the coming generations.